Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inhu, nasta'kfirhu, wa nukwinubihi, ez wa jalla. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. We bear witness that there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And we further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous message. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jaduka wa la ilaha ghayruka. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise. And blessed is your name, and there is none to be worshipped besides you. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Let us peace be unto you. Welcome once more to the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the Community-Wide Shura Conference. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this beautiful Saturday morning. And we want to once again share with you the addresses and lectures of Imam Warif Uddin Muhammad, and to glean from the knowledge, the logic, the connection with Scripture, the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, and all good that comes from out of these addresses and lectures, that we may implement these valuable principles in our personal and community lives. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Alhamdulillah, praise is due to Almighty God Allah. Let me share with you a public service announcement at this time. It's very short. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warif Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warif Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warif Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
All praise is due to Almighty God Allah. I extend a greetings to all of us. May we have a wonderful and valuable Memorial Day. Praise be to Almighty God. Remembering those that have transitioned and went on before us, the Akhirah, the hereafter. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I have made a selection to share with you this Saturday morning. It is entitled, Keeping the Promise. Keeping the Promise. You know, in the surah, the fourth surah of the Quran, Nisa, or the women, there are ayats in this surah pertaining to inheritance. And it goes into great detail concerning the subject of inheritance. Inheritance is a most important part of the Islamic life, that we inherit from our family members or those that leave an inheritance for us. So inheritance is very important. But in the area of inheritance, one can inherit the asset of one that have passed on, and they leave an inheritance to their loved ones. They can obtain the asset, but also they inherit the liability, the debt that one may leave behind, And with that in mind, and what we plan to share with you this morning is that there is a debt collectively. That we as African-American citizens of this country, we owe a debt. We have inherited the life of those that lived before us. We have inherited the successes achieved on this road to total liberation, but also we have inherited the liabilities that come along with inheritance of a life, And what I'm alluding to is that during slavery, that terrible, horrendous experience that no other people have experienced since the beginning of time, we have inherited the negative effects of that, but also we have inherited a degree of success of having survived that horrible condition. And also, we know it is Almighty God, Allah, plans. We plan, but Allah has already planned. And we bear witness that our ancestors, that we're experiencing the horrible condition called chattel slavery, that the majority of them, they made a promise. You know, there was no one to protect the African-American slaves, people that were enslaved in this country. There was no government protection. There was no state protection. There was no local protection. But the slave appealed to the Creator. He knew somewhere there must be a Creator that will bring justice. Removing us from that horrible condition called slavery. So the slave called on Almighty God to help us. There was no one else to call on. Our ancestors called on a living God to help us from out of this terrible human condition. And we made a promise, our ancestors made a promise, that if Almighty God rescued from this horrible condition, that we would forever worship and save and serve Almighty God. Our ancestors made that declaration. And we have to bear witness that Almighty God created circumstances and situations that removed us from the physical bondage of slavery. Everyone said, well, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves only because it was Allah's will people be liberated, physically liberated. That was Almighty God's will. And Almighty God created the circumstance that led to what we call the Emancipation Proclamation. But also our ancestors had made a covenant with Almighty God that if you help us from out of this terrible, horrible, inhumane situation, that we will faithfully serve you. We will be your faithful servants. Almighty God, you know, we don't play with God. If you make a promise to the Creator, it is best to keep your end of a bargain, especially when Almighty God has kept his end of that covenant. So what I want to share with you is an address by Imam Waruddin Muhammad. It is called Keeping the Promise. Keeping the promise. We promised that if Almighty God would help us, that we would serve Almighty God unflinching, unfailingly. That we would be faithful servants. And we want to keep that promise. This address is entitled Keeping the Promise. I want to share it with you. Let me see. Let me cue it up. And may we all, each week I ask if we would to have pen and paper handy, that we could take down notes and share with each other the valuable content of the addresses and lectures of Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. We must keep the spirit alive. Keep the spirit alive. We can't just walk off into the future and ignore the help that Almighty God sent us. Almighty God sent us help in persons, in people. And among the help, we can look all the way back to Denmark Vesey, Mary McLeod Bethune, Sojourner Truth, Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass. We called on God to help us. And we promised that if God would help us and that we would be his most faithful servants and obedient to him. So Almighty God kept his end of the covenant, and we have yet to keep our end of the bargain. So I bring you now the address entitled Keeping the Promise. Keeping the Promise. I ask if you would be willing to share the value that you get from out of this address with everyone that attends these study sessions and those that will attend them later on, inshallah. I bring you now the voice of Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. This address is entitled Keeping the Promise.
That they respected a principle on interest that they held high. The little material monument or little material stereo statue or something was nothing in itself except that it represented something high in their life. You understand? This was the intelligent people. That's how come intelligent people had those things in their society, and they respected them, and they were able to have education and science. They were able to have government and armies to defend them, sports, and good life with those idols as their God. That's because the learned among them, or the informed among them, knew that those idols could not do anything in themselves, but they represented a high idea or a high principle. And I wish I could talk to you for 10 hours, but I can't. I have to go through. You know, I know some of you say, you won't keep me here for 10 hours. Don't be so sure of that. Yes, because when I'm coming to you with what your soul wants, your soul will hold you here against your own wishes. So that keeping the interest straight, keeping the interest before you and keeping it, protecting it from other interests, replacing it, or threatening it, or going against it, that is what preserves life. That is what preserves life. And if God is that interest, your life will be preserved for sure. Lost interest means lost life. Our people as a whole, we had more of a life as a people. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about as a people. We had more of a life as slaves than we have now in this time of freedom and plenty. As a people, we had more life as a people during the days of slavery than we have now. Why? Because all of us was of one mind when it came to our life as a people. That mind was, we need help, and this world will not help us. We need God. We need God. That's what our conclusion was. Our only friend is God. Our only help is God. That was our conclusion. Until we found friends of our people to befriend us and for our freedom. That's what we had to depend on, nothing but God. And even when we had friends, they were so few, their means were so small, they had no power to change the government. They had no power to change the government in the South, where slavery was legalized. They had no power to change it. So still, our main help that we turned to consciously was God. Was God. And we cried out so pitifully to God, and we cried out so sincerely to God, that many of us said to God, God, if you be our friend, we will never part from you. So we made an oath to God. Once you make a sincere oath to God, you may forget it later, God never forgets. And let me tell you something today at this place, at this time. We made a pledge to God. Our ancestors did, our forefathers did, our mothers and fathers did, made a pledge to God. Their pledge to God was accepted by God. He was going to help us anyway, but by us asking him to come and be our friend in those bad circumstances and pledging that we will be faithful to him, it made us have a covenant with God. Yes, the slaves and those leaders who succeeded slavery, who were successful to live beyond the time of slavery, those leaders, those first leaders, they formed an agreement with God, and they had a covenant with God. A covenant with God. That means an agreement that's legal before God, agreement that's binding before God. It has to stay. He has to honor it. It obligates God to honor that agreement. And God does not break the contract because the people forget. He holds us to the contract. Now you wonder how, some of you may be wondering, how come with all of this freedom we got, we are worse off spiritually as a race than we were when times were much harder or much worse for us? You're wondering. It's because we have failed that contract. We have, our leaders, not just us, our leaders have turned their eyes away from that agreement. And God will never let you go. Once you make an agreement with him, he'll never let you go. So if you don't come back to that agreement, he lets you suffer the consequences until you wake up again to the importance of you remembering your contract or your agreement with God.
Okay. I pause at this time to see if anyone would like to share from what we have broadcast thus far. The name of this address is Keeping the Promise. Keeping the Promise. We are inheritors. We are inheritors of the life of the so-called African-American people. We are the inheritors of the assets and the liabilities of a people that made an agreement with Almighty God that if he would help us, that we would serve him faithfully. I see we have someone have raised their hand. This is Brother Muhammad from out of Columbus, Georgia. If you would share with us your thoughts, please, at this time. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. We thank Allah much for this opportunity to share with each other what is already clear to us. So what we're really doing is asking Allah to renew this covenant that we have broken. And we know Allah is all forgiving, so inshallah, we know that's going to come about as many times as we ask to realize that we are asking for something that we already got. Allah said the victory is already yours, you know, by your believing people before you. I think what we need to understand is that whether we like it or not, those of us who are the ex-slaves of the people here in the United States of America that we are the leaders for the believers first. We are the leaders for the believers. And when we establish the leadership that our ancestors blowed before, for whatever reason, they lost it. We are the ones who do renew this covenant with
Allah. Muhammad.
Yes,
Muhammad.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good. Excellent statements. But I don't believe our ancestors lost it. They were the ones that were sincere. They promised from their hearts. I believe the generations following, after the ancestors, I think they lost it. They forgot and went in other direction. I believe that the people that actually experienced that horrible condition, that they were sincere. They were sincere. But as the succeeding generations went forward, I think we somewhat forgot and went astray of the covenant that we had made with God. That, you know, I don't fault those that made the agreement. I fault the succeeding generation that inherited, praise be to God, that inherited that covenant. I'll stop right there, my brother. I just felt
yes, sir.
To say that.
Oh, I appreciate it because, you know, we know that Allah bless you to say that. And he said, does that for a reason, so that I can understand, as well as everyone understand, that we are those ancestors now. See, we have great-grandchildren already on the scene right now. Some of us not even have great-great-grandchildren. And though we're talking like it's us who we're talking about, but we're really talking about them. They haven't lost the covenant. But we as ancestors of the ancestors, we have, like you said, which was very clear also, we have willfully gone astray from the covenant. We have seen it laying on the ground, like Imam Muhammad used to imply. It's laying right there. Who's going to pick it up? That means that we are coming around it every day and walking around the responsibility of making sure that our great-great-grandchildren, who are already here, when they pick it up, they pick it up with the purity that we had when we picked it up and dropped it. Because remember right now, as long as we're in this influence of the shaitan and ourselves and not come out of this dunya and establish their dunya, the ones who are waiting on it, our great children, our grandchildren, they are waiting on us to establish the foundation and the clarity of what they are to do. They understand the Arab, they got the Arab, they got good jobs, they got good this, but they still are waiting on us to pick up the covenant and give it to them, you know, and put it in their hands, and because that lets them know that we have asked for forgiveness and we have reconnected what we've been telling them. And then they'll tell you, we have to remember, we are old ancestors who have still walking around this covenant that's laying right there on the ground. Because we still don't know how to accept what Allah has said in the Quran. Allah said all of us is not going to be Muslim. All of us is not going to make it to the Jannah. But we're letting our humanity or Shaitan is using our humanity to make us think that we are saviors. And we're trying to save everybody when Allah has already told us the hell will be full. People, only the believers will continue to pick up this covenant and hold on to it like they're supposed to. But like Imam said, it's still laying there on the ground because his community, that's us ancestors here in the United States of America right now, who are over 45 or 50 years old. We are ancestors. We are refusing to walk around and don't pick up this covenant. So that's why our children are still lost. That's why they're still waiting on what to do with all this wonderful proof that Allah has given them. Allah has given them money. He's given them shelter. He's given us good, believing grandparents, but for some reason, they are reluctant to give them their future. We admit it our own selves that we're in their way. We remember when Imam was telling them to get out of their way. Pass his torch on to the children of today and tomorrow. So we need to ask ourselves, why are we holding on? Like Allah asked, why are you holding on to this world? When I invited you to the world that you prayed that I would give you, peace, freedom, justice, equality, love. You know, why are we holding on to this world here as if though Allah is abandoning his creation? He can do what he want to do. Allah does what he want to do. And he's made it clear. So when we start to establish and build our belief so that our children can see that they are the inheritors of what we started way back long ago here in the United States of America toward getting out of our freedom. And like Imam Muhammad just said, it's our belief in God. It's our belief in asking God for help. But we have God. And in closing, remember what Allah said, when those who go astray willfully, Allah honor that. And he won't let you come back until he wants you to come back. And we know the way to get back is, where he's already told us, is to ask for forgiveness and come back and go to work. So that's why our children are standing around here in the United States of America waiting on those of us who are blocking. So we don't have no leader. Remember, we won't even agree upon a leader or a group of leaders or band of people to start establishing what is right and forbidding what's wrong. And they're standing there with all those resources, all that help. So we have to learn how to pick it up, because they're not going to pick it up. But we done told them, leave it alone, don't do this, you're obligated to that, you black, you this. We done gave them so much confusion that they won't pick it up, because they are obedient. They are loving children. But they want us to give them their future the way that they know that God has told them y'all supposed to do. Y'all supposed to pass it on. But in closing, our problem is that we have not accepted the leadership that Allah has given us in the life of Prophet Muhammad. You know, we get alhamdulillah for all of the people who came before us. But Allah wanted us still to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and until we do that, the covenant is going to lay right there on the ground. Well, Imam Muhammad told us. He said, y'all love me and y'all won't even pick up what I have left for you to pick up to carry you on and carry me. And all of those who believe on the day of resurrection will be able to line up behind Prophet Muhammad and move forward onto Allah's destiny that he has for us. Just want to say that. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, we have another person have raised their hand. Thank you for your contribution this morning inside of this study session we're having now. We are sharing with the listening audience an address entitled by, delivered by Imam Waruddin Muhammad Rahim Al-Alehi, entitled Keeping the Promise. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I'm opening up the mic of error code 810-399. As-salamu alaykum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Wa alaykum as-salam to you, Imam Kareem Hamid, and to the AM360 family. This is the Preacher Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. And just listening here at the presentation this morning, these presentations, and our brother Muhammad, and, you know, and I'm thinking about our children and keeping this promise, you know. And we, as the parents, and some of us coming from parents that were Muslim and practicing, and you know, they show us the way, okay, you do it like this here. I think what I'm seeing is that I know that when my experience in raising my children, and we showed them, and they did show them, okay, now you're going to do this, And this is the way it's going to happen. And people would always say, you know, you all are making them do this. You making them do that religion. You wait till they get grown up, and then they ain't gonna do that. They're going to go on and do something else. But, you know, and they're not going to keep to what you're saying, like you're saying now, keeping the promise. But, you know, I always felt like if you give the children the right way to go, they may not, you might tell them, okay, you got to go this way, go all the way up to this corner here, and then turn right, and then you're going to get to the mass. Yeah, just say I'm using it as an analogy. But what they want to do is once they get to be adults, they see the importance keeping the promise, and this is what I'm getting from the message and from the Muhammad, us keeping the promises, passing on to our children, and they doing the same into their children and keeping that. But what I'm finding out is that when we raise them and you give them the right structure, that when they get grown, you might tell them, say, go all the way up to that end of the corner, then turn right, and then, you know, give them the directions to go. But then, you know, when they get up there, today in that corner, they get inquisitive. They say, well, I wonder what if I go this way. They map it out in their head, and they say, well, okay, this is the where they want me to go over here. But you know what? I think I want to go up around this way and venture around there and see what. But they keep it in mind now, the goal. You keep in mind the goal, what they've been taught. And the goal is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Getting back to the paradise, that's the goal. Doing as much good works and being honest and decent as you can be and truthful as you can be in this life as you travel back to your Lord, because for a surety there will be a day of standing, and all that you do is going to be laid forth, and it's going to be brought forth to you and what you've done. Okay, so now they got all of this. But when it comes to saying we want to go right up to the end of that corner and turn right, like you say, to get to, I'm just going to use it now, say, for instance, to get to Chicago. And so you go up here and you drive over this way and you drive this path right here, and when you get through driving all these directions that I've engaged you, you're going to run right up there in Chicago. But when they get to a point and they get to be adults, they say, well, I want to check out something else. I know where I'm going, and I know where my parents and told me to go, the way they told me to go, but I want to go a different direction. Not a different direction and not keeping the promise of what they're supposed to do, knowing that they're going to get back to their Lord and going to be accountable for all that they're doing. But wanting to venture out on them own. And as long as we as the parents have taught them right in terms of keeping the promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping the faith, they're going to stay on there. They may not go up that same street and turn that same right turn, but they know that the goal, they know what the goal is, and they're keeping it in mind. But they're going to go on their own direction that they want to venture out in and see, in terms of getting to the goal. Asking Allah now, I know you've already been told step by step which way to go, but no, they want to have a mind of their own. And we as the parents have to appreciate that, because Allah, highly glorified as He said, that He takes care of us and our children too. So we have to keep the promise in terms of trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving them the information in the direction the best that we know, but allowing them that opportunity and trusting Allah that when He says He's going to take care of us and our children too, guide us and our children too, keeping that promise and keeping the faith, knowing that it will. Even though they went a whole opposite way of what we told them, that they holding in their heart that promise. And the keeping to that. So and that's what I found out. I mean, this is what I have experienced. And that's what I'm gonna share with everyone this morning. Yeah, we gotta keep that promise, and we gotta make sure we give that information to our children, our grandbabies, our great grandbabies, and pray a lot, Venerable to Allah, that they will stay on the path of coming to him, whichever direction that they decide to take in getting to that point. Alhamdulillah. I hope I was clear enough, because that's just what I have experienced in passing, the information down to my children and making sure that they pass it to their children and that their children, and we will continue on through our progeny. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly, Brother Imam, and thank you so kindly, listeners, for allowing me to just share that thought that came to my mind. That Allah bless me. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister the Afrika. Alhamdulillah, excellent sharing. Praise be to Almighty God. We are talking about a whole people. When our ancestors called out to the Creator, they had been stripped of almost everything, their language, their past religion, their ancestral customs. They were completely cut off. Although we know that there were many Muslims captured and brought here in the transatlantic slave trade. But we know that they separated the parents from their children, and the children had no way to connect with their past, They didn't know anything of Allah. They didn't know anything of Prophet Muhammad. I'm talking about the vast majority of those held hostage in slavery. They had been almost completely erased. But in their soul was the belief that there is a power greater than all of us that can relieve our suffering. So there are, there are good Christians that have excellent moral behavior. There are other than just us as Muslims in the association of the Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. I'm talking about the very essence of our human nature. That's all we had left. We had been stripped of everything except it's the embedded within us, within the human being, the idea of righteousness, the idea of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to reduce this down to just a religious persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about us as human beings. We shouldn't separate ourselves from all well-meaning good people. But Almighty God kept his end of our covenant. We were physically free.
Mm-hmm.
We were physically free. The chains were removed, and we had the freedom of movement.
Mm-hmm.
But the lingering effects of slavery, some of it is still within us. The idea of not being corrupt, the idea of being honest, the idea of not lying, the idea of keeping your word, the idea of moral excellence. We made a covenant with God that we would not be corrupt, that we would exhibit the best morals. Matter of fact, I can look back into my own past as a young boy. Our morals were better then than they are now. I'm just talking about just doing right. Just doing right. Acknowledging that there is a power greater than us.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't want to reduce this. You know, sometimes we reduce things down to just Muslims, just Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember there were no Muslims, conscious Muslims, when Allah revealed the Quran to our Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace be upon him. But the Prophet Muhammad, his very human nature was excellent. He knew nothing of phrases like Khalifa.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the Quran, but he displayed moral excellence. Even if the Quran had not been revealed, at the very essence of our nature is excellent moral character, non-corruption. Don't be a liar. Don't cheat. Don't rob. Don't steal. It did not take a revelation from Almighty God to let us know that was wrong. That was already embedded, that is already embedded in the original nature of the human being. So we have to admit that we dropped the ball. I'm not blaming our children. They only display what has been presented to them and or what has influenced their thinking and their behavior. That's all. They cannot act outside of what has influenced them. So did we become corrupt? Did our morals fall to such a low state that it fashioned them? But let me say this, and I'm grateful to say this. There are young people now that are returning back to the covenant. Among them is Muslims, Christians, mm-hmm. and others
mm-hmm.
that are returning mm-hmm. back to being non-corrupt, regardless to what label. But we are human. Human, they are returning back to the excellence that God put in them, regardless to, now, we've got to admit our part in not keeping the covenant. Did we display corrupt behavior? Did we walk away from the best of our human content? Did we keep the strong connection
right, that's
to the Creator that saved us from that physical bondage? Or after that physical bondage, did we just walk off into corruption, lying, cheating, stealing, following the ways of this world? Did we forget the covenant?
Well,
But I've got to admit, there are young people now that have picked the covenant back up. They are. And once again, trying to is to keep our end of the bargain. We promised God that if he would help us, that we would be his obedient servants.
Right.
So, and God kept his end. But he will still hold us to keeping our end of the bargain.
Good.
So that's what we are expressing now. There are young people among us and among Christians and among others that have picked up righteousness and using that as the guide.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not blaming our youth. But once again, it is our ancestors cried to Almighty God. Many of them did not even know the terminology Allah or Jehovah or Yahweh. They just knew that there must be an overriding creator, an overriding justice. And whatever whatever that entity's name is, please come and save us, help us from these terrible people.
Right.
And if you rescue us, we pledge our very life that we will serve you and live a life of righteousness. God kept his end, a bargain, and we have gone so far away from that original soul that called out in the darkness. The darkness means ignorance, not knowing. And they pleaded for help as human beings. They pleaded for it. So I'm not couching this in a particular doctrine. It's right within our nature to be honest, to be truthful, to not steal, not lie, not undercut one another, to display excellent morals. My great grandmother, Caldonia Smith. I can remember my parents would take us over to her home, and would leave us there with her to spend that day with her. And I don't know whether she could read or write, but I do know that she was not as educated as we are. But it's one thing. We would say, Grandmama, when is Daddy and Mama coming to get us? She would say, they'll be here directly.
Mm-hmm.
And she would end it, if the good Lord is willing.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that?
Yeah.
She was saying, Inshallah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Right. She was saying, if the good Lord is willing.
Right.
I can remember as a little boy, we would be outside playing and stuff, and there was a phrase. He is your brother. And somebody would say, no, he isn't. And then someone would say, oh, yes, he is, in God's way. This was in the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, oh, yes, he is, in God's way.
Mm-hmm.
See, so the acknowledgement that there's a creator that we are responsible to was within us.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. But too many of us went astray. We drunk the Kool-Aid. Yeah, we drunk the Kool-Aid. If you find a fool, bump his head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get it by any means necessary. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember a slacking. I praise be to Almighty. I turned 75 on May 21st of this month, and I'm grateful for those years. And I'm grateful for Almighty God opening up my mind.
Right.
And to be able to look back and having an excellent teacher that would take those back along that route that we came from. And remind us of those markers along that route. I'm grateful for that. So we don't want to just say, well, yeah, just acknowledge Prophet Muhammad, acknowledge the Quran, and all is well. We are great. A matter of fact, Almighty God kept his covenant in that he placed the Quran right in our midst. Right in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. We don't think that we did this. I hope we don't think that. It is a law that guides through the straight path. The Christian has a straight path too. Let me say that separating ourselves from the people of the book. I'm talking about a whole race of people. And our ancestors, they cried out to the Creator that if he would help us, that we would be his most loyal servants. We would not be corrupt. We wouldn't lie. We wouldn't cheat. We wouldn't steal. We wouldn't fornicate. We wouldn't commit adultery against our wives. We would love our children. God has kept his, matter of fact, even when we went far astray, Almighty God placed the Quran right in our midst.
That's right.
That's him. Even how you hear what I'm saying? Praise be to Allah. Thank you, the priest. Praise be to Almighty God for your sharing with us this morning. Praise be to Allah.
Wow.
May Allah continue to bless you and us. And I bear witness that there are young people among us, Christians, Jew, Muslim, whatever.
That's right. Right.
Yes. Matter of fact, they have said something is wrong with this system.
Oh, yeah.
And even Caucasian youth have said it's the system. This system is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
These institutions. So we see attorneys coming from our young people. And we don't have to be in front of that or leading that. It's in their very human nature to return back to the covenant that we made. Matter of fact, even the Caucasian Now, let me spread this out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Caucasian took a look at his own behavior and said, this is wrong. This was not that God is not with this. Huh? Well, I'm talking about the human being. But let me narrow it down back to the slave that would stand in the middle of the field and in the darkness of night and look up into that black sky with the illuminated stars twinkling. He didn't know who he was. That's all just whoever you are, whoever did all this, please help us. We pledge that we will serve you. And God kept his covenant. So let me stop right there. So praise be to God, to Almighty God. The Imam Dressius keeping the promise. We have to be reminded periodically that we owe a debt.
That's right.
Debt. The deen is translated as debt. The day of accounting.
That's right.
Debt. Remember the debt that we owe. And it is Almighty God that saved us from that.
That's right. Shalom.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be. So we do see it's not all doom. It's a group of many groups of young Muslims and young Christians that are reevaluating.
That's right.
Yes, that's the truth.
That's right.
And they are like-minded people. We don't want to separate ourselves like we're some exclusive, special group. Don't do it.
Yes,
sir. You're human. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Right. Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. You really got me,
yes,
got
sir.
Me fired
yes,
up here.
It's okay, brother man. I'd like to remind everyone to join me this afternoon with Alice Lyman Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, starting at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time this afternoon right here. I just wanted to remind everybody because the time had changed.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yes.
And
yes,
that is an excellent broadcast, Islam in Focus. Our sister, the preacher, shares with us, the attributes of the Creator, the attributes of the Creator. And...
Yes.
You know, how can I, well, all I can say is please tune in. It is a very valuable, very insightful, very educational broadcast. The attributes of Allah. El God, He is rich. Allah is rich.
Learning who God is, who Allah is.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes,
that's
sir.
For real. That's for real. I thank you, Dupree.
Yes, sir. Thank you so kindly, Brother Man.
Okay. I want to move forward. Okay. Error code 727408. I believe this may be Bilal. I hope that you heard Bilal.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, it is.
Alhamdulillah.
I came on and you didn't know.
Did you hear any of the Imam Muhammad's present?
No, I just heard you and the preacher.
Yeah, please let me finish my thought. It is very important.
Right. Yes.
It is very important when we attend these study sessions.
Yes.
That we are that we are sharing with each other the insight and the lesson coming from what Imam Muhammad is presenting, it is important that we be present so that when we share, we're staying within the subject matter. I'm not saying that if somebody has a burning desire to say what they need to say, alhamdulillah, thank you. Your voice is protected, no doubt about it. And your intellect is respected. Yes, sir. But I'm only expressing the importance. We say we love Imam Muhammad.
Right.
Well, every Saturday we hold a study session of his train of thought.
Yes, yes.
We can't just push him over to the side and ignore what Almighty God has blessed us with through Imam Muhammad. Okay.
I'm doing it.
With that said, go ahead, my brother. Thank you.
I pray a lot that I'm on the right path with this. So alhamdulillah. You know, as a people, and you're dealing, you're speaking of those different names that we were stripped of as a people, right? And a major part of that for man to have a certain drive about himself to achieve in the world, and that spirit is a drive, and his body, flesh that he is born with, it begins to manifest in his mind, conscious of the drive, and then it manifests in his spirit. Now, remember, we have a social reform that came up, and he was dealing with the body in such a way where you stop smoking, you stop drinking, you stop these freaking sex and different things like that. You take better care of yourself. Now, we moved on, and what happened that our spirit began to manifest in our mind, and we're trying to deal with that. So Allah blessed us with Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And so he began to address that spirit in us so that we can become into a rational way of thinking. But we have to have the proper knowledge of our religion. So we begin to reason things out. And we begin to try to go towards our destiny as a person. First, as that individual. And we say, what am I going to do with my life? Now I have the knowledge of it. So we begin to, some go to school. Some begin to go into their gifts and their skills, or a different thing that they learn from the social reform, and then they begin to grow up and develop themselves. And then what happens? Because we have that drive and that motivation, you'll see some of us, you have some great progress being made. So, man, look at the brother, he's taking care of business, and the community begin to progress because he needs to do that. And what occurs at that point that I think will really take us where we have to be is that intuitive nature that Allah begin to bless us with because of our desire to please him. And then he even go a little farther that our purpose and our aim become that purpose and aim that Allah has in us that he brings out. And then man becomes so and desirable, like you. I'm going to say you. The preacher, we become so desirous in having nature to please God that our purpose and our plan become as one with God. So praise be to Allah. And I basically was taking that from Imam Muhammad, the book by Imam Rana B. Shaheed, Follow the Leader. And so I see what y'all were talking about, and so that's what I just did at that point there. I didn't just want to read. I wanted to kind of like put some, see how Allah will allow me to work with it. So I pray Allah that was okay. And so I know I needed to be present earlier. So praise be to Allah. And Allah, Akbar. All right, everybody. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum assalam. And as always, Bilal, you share such valuable with praise be to Allah. We thank Almighty God. Praise to Allah. Yes, sir. Okay, I want to return back to the address. I see you, Muhammad, but I need to return back to the address. Let me, well, no, I'll open up your mic, but be aware that, okay, that we are under the clock, and let's speak direct to the subject matter, the name of this address, Keeping the Promise. I'm opening up your mic, Muhammad, from Columbus, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and right away, we have to remember that Imam Muhammad is trying to let us know that Allah promised Ibrahim for his du'as, asking the same thing we asked when we was in slavery. He was asking for help and said that if he got that help of knowing who God was, that he will ask Allah to bless those human beings who will bear witness that there is no God but Allah, like he has found out, that they will bow down to him. We know in the message of concern, one of the things Imam stressed in the message of concern that he put in the paper every week is that we use the word Muslim. You know, we have to understand what Muslim means and understand that we have no control over this opportunity that Allah gives the human family who wants to bow down to him. We already know the many, many names that you can be behind the way Shaitan has named and misinformed people of their nature and their names all over the world. There's so many different people and names for everything and names that they call each other and things like that. But the goal is to guide the people back by Allah's permission to first understand that they love. And then right quick, one more thing is that never forget the Muslims who came over here in slavery. They did not forget Allah. And it is them who kept the faith in those who did not know Allah or had not heard about Allah to keep them with hope that situation that we all was in, white slaves, black slaves, Chinese slaves, you know, that those who they see in us being abused were still praying. We still were walking around with hope and encouraging them to have a good day, even though they stand in the middle of the field, 100 degrees. But they're telling the brothers and sisters to have faith. We had to remember, was that the Muslim slave still remembering Allah and not giving up hope? It's only been a short time, and we need to forget that. We don't have to be ashamed of being a Muslim. And yes, we are different.
You know,
we are the people who bow down to one God. You know, other people are not doing that, and we have to respect their belief.
You know, as long as we think, we can't separate ourselves from the human family. We can't do that. Our very nature is Muslim. Everything Allah created is Muslim. But praise be to Allah, we are conscious Muslims now. Alhamdulillah. And referencing Abraham, a father of the three great religions, the Abrahamic faith. Abraham He was greeted by our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Almighty God be upon them both. He was greeted as my father, Abraham. And let us know that Abraham represents a community, not one person. Abraham represents a community. So I'll stop right there. I just want us to remind us of our covenant with Almighty God, Allah. I want to return back to the address of Imam Wazidi Muhammad, Keeping a Promise. May we all benefit from the hearing, have pen, paper, and a willingness to share. Praise be to Allah.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that black people who suffered slavery in this land, and all those who identify with us, whether they came over here on their own or not, once they got over here, the white man said, you're another nigger. You're another nigger. And they were treated like another nigger. Their circumstances was that of another nigger. And their future was that of another nigger. So they are ours, too. They are ours, too. You see? So what I'm saying is this, that because they pleaded to our God for help and he came in and intervened, yes, God intervened and made the situation so that eventually we were freed from physical slavery. But that's not all that God wants for us, just freedom of your bodies. No, the worst enslavement, as we have been taught by our leaders before, that came before me, or before us, the worst enslavement was not the physical enslavement or the holding of us bodily. It was the mental enslavement, the holding of our mind. That was the worst enslavement. Here we are belonging to a family of people that didn't come from Europe, but now the thinking of the family from Europe is replacing the thinking of the family from Africa. And pretty soon there's no more African thinking in the mind than only European thinking in the mind. But it's an African descendant thinking with a European mind. Now, isn't that a natural conflict?
Yes.
Isn't that a pitiful contradiction?
Yes.
That another man had put his head inside my brain and I don't have any head of my own anymore? That I think and act and respond and have fun and go to work with his mind? Something is wrong. Now, the body itself rebels against that. My genetic memory in my flesh rebels against that. Doesn't like that. So here it is, white mind in a nigger body, excuse my language, it's done for a psychological effect.
Yes.
I'm also a medical doctor. Here is mind that's kind of inside this black body from the white head. So I got a white head inside my black head. And my body says, it is here. So let me go out around the bank. Let me start a movement that nobody heard of. Let me get an idea that nobody know anything about. Do anything. Let me shake the booty until I die. Turn on the music. Keep the music on. Don't stop it. Oh, I went to sleep with my earphones. I got up, got in the car with the earphones. Yeah, I got the earphones on 24 hours a day. I'm shaking the booty all through my sleep. There's a conflict between originality and artificiality. Until you get your own connected back with your own human life and your own human self, what you have imposed upon you is artificiality. But down what God created, deep down in what God created, is still the genuine life. And it takes what you have imposed upon it. And you're suffering problems and conflicts, and you're suffering a behavior that you can't change, you know it doesn't make sense. You know it's crazy, the way you live. But you can't throw it off of you. You can't get rid of it. Why? Because you are living with a mind that's not in agreement with your original nature. So your original nation rejected it, so you have war. You got a great war going on in your own life. Within your own life, you got a great war going on. It's a war between the imposed artificiality and the originality that God made. And one will fight the other like cats and dogs. Yes? Life is supposed to be, first of all, intelligent life. When this country wants to succeed and get its freedom, the people of this country, pardon me, during the days of the 13 states and during the days of rule by Europe over this, over the colonies of America, they wanted to get free from that. They didn't want to be ruled by a foreign country or by a country overseas. They wanted to establish their own freedom and have their own country. They had to appeal to the intelligence of the people. Did they just come out with a moral message? Or did they just come out with a spiritual message saying we have to believe in God and be strong in our religion? No. They made an appeal to the common sense of the people. And Paine's call to common sense, he called the whole country, all his countrymen, to common sense, so that all the public here would use their intelligence. And that is how, with the help of others who were opposing the dominance of the European, British, in the new land, America, that is how they got enough people to support the resistance and resist it and establish their independence and their freedom. So what am I saying to you, my dear people? I'm saying to you that just spiritual life and spiritual interest are religious rituals and happiness in the church or the mosque or any other thing that's holding us is not enough. It's not enough. We cannot be governed by pleasures unless it's the pleasure in obeying God. That's the only pleasure that we can be governed by successfully. If we find the greatest pleasure in obeying God, as God has instructed us, then that pleasure can keep us and progress us and have us stronger and stronger. It will never fail us. That pleasure will never fail us. But all other pleasures will fail us eventually. You cannot, even just the pleasure of going and hear a good speaker speaking in the religion, I'm going to hear a good sermon. That will not hold you up. That will not keep you hearing a good sermon or a good preacher, whether he's a Muslim or Christian or whatever he is. You need more than that. You need your brain to be put in good order. You need your senses to be put in good order. You need your intelligence to work for you. You hear what I'm saying? If African-American life, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm sure there are many individuals in here who are not victims of what I'm talking about. But it will help you to understand it better. So don't think you're not getting some benefit from what I'm saying. The way I address it and the way I deal with it will help you to better situate yourself, though you are not one of the victims or the bad victims, the pitiful victims. Yes. But look at our people as a whole, whether it's in New York or Newark, Los Angeles, Chicago, no matter where it is. When you look at our people on the whole, what is governing their life? That they respected a principle or an interest that they held high. The little material monument or little material stereo statue or something was nothing in itself except that it represented something high in their life. You understand? This was the intelligent people. That's how some intelligent people had those things in their society, and they respected that, and they were able to have education and science. They were able to have government and armies to defend them, sports, and good life with those idols as their God. That's because the learned among them, or the informed among them, knew that those idols could not do anything in themselves, but they represented a high idea, a high principle. And I wish I could talk to you for 10 hours, but I can't. I have to go soon. I know some of you said you won't keep me in the 10 hours. Don't be so sure of that. Yes, because when I'm coming to you with what your soul wants, your soul will hold you here against your own wishes. Praise be to Allah. So that keeping the interest straight, keeping the interest before you and keeping it, protecting it from other interests, replacing it, or threatening it, or going against it, that is what preserves life. That is what preserves life. And if God is that interest, your life will be preserved for sure. Lost interest means lost life. Our people as a whole, we had more of a life as a people. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about as a people. We had more of a life as slaves than we have now in this time of freedom and peace. As a people, we had more life as a people during the days of slavery than we have now. Why? Because all of us was of one mind when it came to our life as a people. That mind was, we need help, and this world will not help us. We need God. We need God. That's what our conclusion was. Our only friend is God. Our only help is God. That was our conclusion. Until we found friends of our people to befriend us and for our freedom. That's what we had to depend on, nothing but God. And even when we had friends, they were so few, their means were so small. They had no power to change the government. They had no power to change the government in the South, where slavery was legalized. They had no power to change it. So still, our main help that we turned to consciously was God. Was God. And we cried out so pitifully to God, and we cried out so sincerely to God, that many of us pledged to God, God, if you be our friend, we will never part from you. So we made an oath to God. Once you make a sincere oath to God, you may forget it later. God never forgets. And let me tell you something today in this place at this time. We made a pledge to God. Our ancestors did. Our forefathers did. Our mothers and fathers did. Made a pledge to God. Their pledge to God was accepted by God. He was going to help us anyway. But by us asking him to come and be our friend in those bad circumstances and pledging that we will be faithful to him, it made us have a covenant with God. Yes, the slaves and those leaders who succeeded slavery, who were successful to live beyond the time of slavery, those leaders, those first leaders, they formed an agreement with God, and they had a covenant with God. A covenant with God. That means an agreement that's legal before God, agreement that's binding before God. It has to stay. He has to honor it. It obligates God to honor that agreement. And God does not break the contract because the people forget. He holds us to the contract. Now you wonder how, some of you may be wondering, how come with all of this freedom we got, we are worse off spiritually as a race than we were when times were much harder or much worse for us? You're wondering. It's because we have failed that contract. We have, our leaders, not just us, our leaders have turned their eyes away from that agreement. And God will never let you go. Once you make an agreement with him, he'll never let you go. So if you don't come back to that agreement, he lets you suffer the consequences until you wake up again to the importance of you remembering your contract or your agreement with God. So what am I saying? I'm saying that black people who suffered slavery in this land and all those who identify with us, whether they came over here on their own or not, once they got over here, the white man said, you're another nigger. You're another nigger. And they were treated like another nigger. nigger, and their future was that of another nigger. So they're ours too. They're ours too. You see? So what I'm saying is this, that because they pleaded to our God for help and he came in and intervened, yes, God intervened and made the situation so that eventually we were freed from physical slavery. But that's not all that God wants for us, just freedom of your bodies. No, the worst enslavement, as we have been taught by our leaders before, that came before me, or before us, the worst enslavement was not the physical enslavement or the holding of us bodily. It was the mental enslavement, the holding of our minds. That was the worst enslavement. Here we are belonging to a family of people that didn't come from Europe, but now the thinking of the family from Europe is replacing the thinking of the family from Africa. And pretty soon there's no more African thinking in the mind, there's only European thinking in the mind. But it's an African descendant thinking with a European mind. Now, isn't that a natural conflict?
Yes.
Isn't that a pitiful contradiction?
Yes, sir.
That another man has put his head inside my brain, and I don't have any head of my own anymore, that I think and act and respond and have fun and go to work with his mind? Something is wrong. Now, the body itself rebels against that. My genetic memory in my flesh rebels against that. Doesn't like that. So here it is, white mind in a nigga body. Excuse my language. It's done for psychological effect.
Yes. Yes.
I'm also a medical doctor. Here it is, mind that's got it inside this black body from the white head. So I got a white head inside my black head. And my body says, it is here. So let me go on wrong pain. Let me start a movement that nobody heard of. Let me get an idea that nobody know anything about. Do anything, let me shake the booty until I die. Turn on the music. Keep the music on. Don't stop it. Oh, I went to sleep with my earphones. I got up and got in the car with the earphones. Yeah, I got the earphones on 24 hours a day. I'm shaking the booty all through my sleep. There's a conflict between originality and artificiality. Until you get your own connected back with your own human life and your own human self, what you have imposed upon you is artificiality. But down what God created, deep down in what God created, is still the genuine life. And it takes what you have imposed upon it. And you're suffering problems and conflicts, and you're suffering a behavior that you can't change. You know it doesn't make sense. You know it's crazy the way you live. But you can't throw it off of you. You can't get rid of it. Why? Because you are living with a mind that's not in agreement with your original nature. So your original nature is rejecting it. So you have war. You got a great war going on in your own life. Within your own life, you got a great war going on. It's a war between the imposed artificiality and the originality that God made. And one will fight the other like cats and dogs. Yes. Life is supposed to be, first of all, intelligent life. When this country wanted to succeed and get its freedom, the people of this country, probably, during the the days of the 13 states, and during the days of rule by Europe over the colony of America. They wanted to get free from that. They didn't want to be ruled by a foreign country or by a country overseas. They wanted to establish their own freedom and have their own country. They had to appeal to the intelligence of the people. Did they just come out with a moral message? Or did they just come out with a spiritual message? Saying we have to believe in God and be strong in our religion? No. They made an appeal to the common sense of the people. And Haynes called to common sense. He called the whole country, all his countrymen, to common sense. So that all the public here would use their intelligence. And that is how, with the help of others who were opposing the dominance of Europeans, British, in the new land, America, that is how they got enough people to support the resistance and resist it and establish their independence and their freedom. So what am I saying to you, my dear people? I'm saying to you that this spiritual life and spiritual interest are religious rituals and happiness in the church or the monk or the or any other thing that's holding us is not enough. It's not enough. We cannot be governed by pleasures unless it's the pleasure in obeying God. That's the only pleasure that we can be governed by successfully. If we find the greatest pleasure in obeying God, as God has instructed us, then that pleasure can keep us and progress us and have us stronger and stronger. It will never fail us. That pleasure will never fail us. But all other pleasures will fail us eventually. You cannot, even just the pleasure of going and hear a good speaker speaking in religion. I'm going to hear a good sermon. That will not hold you up. That will not keep you hearing a good sermon or a good preacher, whether he's a Muslim or a Christian or whatever he is. You need more than that. You need your brain to be put in good order. You need your senses to be put in good order. You need your intelligence to work for you. You hear what I'm saying? If African-American life, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm sure there are many individuals in here who are not victims of what I'm talking about. But it will help you to understand it better. So don't think you're not getting some benefit from what I'm saying. We are addressing it, we are dealing with it, it will help you to better situate yourself, though you are not one of the victims, or the bad victims, the pitiful victims. Yes, but look at our people as a whole, whether it's in New York or Newark, Los Angeles, Chicago, no matter where it is. When you look at our people on the whole, what is governing their life? On interest.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. That's all I have of that address. But the point is well taken. The point is made. Praise be to Allah. That Almighty God, our ancestors made a covenant with Almighty God, and we are the inheritors. We are the inheritors of the agreement that our ancestors made. You are inheritors of that. Allah, as the Imam said, Allah will not let you go from that covenant, from that agreement that our ancestors made. We are the inheritors of that agreement, of that covenant. I want to return back to the studio and share with you some important public service announcements. And I ask you if you would press one on your phone and share with us what Almighty God has blessed you with from out of this wonderful address entitled Keeping the Promise. Praise be to Allah. You listen to America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this morning as we have entered into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. I ask you, press one on your phone, be willing to share what Allah blessed you with from this wonderful address, keeping the promise. Okay, I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Sabrita Hadi, director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. As-salamu alaykum.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit cwsc.us because together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the dynamic Islamic-based program Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dafrita Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab,
here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Back, praise be to Allah. This is the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, sharing with you addresses and lectures of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad so that we can glean from the knowledge, the wisdom, the logic, the connection with scripture, the life example of our Prophet Muhammad, utilizing Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad's tafsir to engage the group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, his wisdom, and direction for the practical application in our personal and community lives. These study sessions are open to all serious students wishing to go beyond just merely existing to making connections with the logic of Scripture and the life example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through Imam Muhammad's tafsir. We strongly suggest that you bring pen and paper and your highest level of respect. Mutual consultation. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I'm opening up the mic of 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Thank Allah for him being God and for Prophet Muhammad. Alhamdulillah. And also the scripture that we are blessed to give from that was left for us, Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. So praise be to Allah for each other also. Just something real I'd like to share. We have to live our lives consciously. Our lives shouldn't be full of a lot of mysteries. Abraham wasn't satisfied with something his intelligence didn't agree with. We have a way of life that respects our intelligence. Common sense is a deed of benefit. That is why it is said in the Quran that this is the order or millah of Abraham. We can't treat him like he was Bo Diddley or Sam. We have hope, not doubt, the hope that God created in the human soul. We are progressing, keep sharing and practicing what we know. The vices in the society want to destroy you and me. Prophet Muhammad was a mercy to humanity. Follow every man's wisdom and never accept defeat. Build the institution that we need. This will make it easier for us to establish peace. Our Creator can give us the institution, the intuition we need. Pray for help. Foolishness and ignorance, we can't and we would never have to accept. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Billy Allah, for your sharing. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I see our brother Muhammad have raised his hand once more, and I look forward to hearing his commentary, inshallah. Thank you, Bilal, for your contribution this morning. Okay, error code 706-627. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam. And all you can do is can say is alhamdulillah to thank Allah much for Imam Muhammad and all of those believers before us, all the way back to Ibrahim again, because we know Ibrahim made a promise. Yes, Allah, if you take me away from what my father believe and all these people believe, you know, and put me on a peaceful relationship with all that I see and don't see, then I also want you to favor those who think like me, you know, who come after me and think like me also the same reward. And then Allah tells us again in the Quran, you know, he tells us, why do you cling so heavily to these people, paraphrasing, to these people who have done all these things to you and you beg me to help you or get away from them and get away from their thinking, you know, because we know that they are under the influence of Satan. Because remember, We just talking about 500 years ago. So the Muslims who came here and the people in the world knew that there was a Satan. From the Bible, from the Torah, from the Quran, they knew there was a creature somewhere who was making us think that there's another way better than what Almighty God Allah has prescribed for us. And we pray Allah to separate us from these people. Let's get down to brass tacks. We try to get away from people. These human beings who have heard what we have heard, but have fallen in love with what Shaitan has told them what he could do for them in this world. Right now, they don't have to wait. They can be anything they want to be, from a great philosopher to an animal, if they just only follow his direction. So knowing this, we have to stay conscious. We have to stay, like I said, Allah said, you better act like you want to, this is your last day, and you want to live forever, because it's definitely coming. And we're living in, like Evangelist just got through saying, he said so clear that last statement that he was saying. I mean, he just, it makes you smile when you are trying to be a believer in the word of Allah when it comes to you from anywhere. Because anybody can tell the truth, but are they telling to get their lie across, to get their deception across, to get their seduction across, to get their hold on you, to keep you from leaving them? Because they know you are praying to get away from that type of heart, that type of intelligence, those type of emotions where you can't even tell the truth if you want to. You be telling, like Imam Muhammad said, you come here and we have a meeting and you get about 99, 98, 97% of the truth. And then before you can get back to your master or to your wife or to your children, you want to put your tooth in it and start giving them a lie about what Allah says and making us seem weak, making us seem so imperfect that we should have some kind of sympathy for the same people who beat you, rape you, kill you. And this has been all types of people. This hasn't just been only been the white man. This is what the human family of people who follow the word of Shaitan has been doing to each other and every human being he or she runs into. We have some of the greatest deceivers in the world have been mothers, aunties, sisters. Some of the greatest deceivers in the world have been men, uncles, grandfathers. But Allah said, I will answer Ibrahim's prayer just like I'm going to answer y'all. But see, but this is the final answer, the Quran. This is the miracle of the Quran. It's the final answer to all the lies we've been telling ourselves, not to Allah, because he already knows. But he's trying to be merciful to us by giving us a chance to establish and develop our natural inclination to want to see the promise of another world other than this one where we got sent down here to give Shaitan his respite. But only us who believe will not suffer or grieve from the sad things that Shaitan do to the human being who they think he loves them. So we pray Allah that, again, these lessons that we get from Imam Muhammad by Allah's permission, that they are coming from a human being who is fully aware that he's telling the truth, even if it's against his own soul. Because he already knows he's not perfect, because he's going to make mistakes. But he wanted to understand that don't give up on your promise to Allah to get you away from these people. That's what we're talking around in circles. We're talking about other human beings who have chosen to be a distributor of the evil of the Shaitan to his fellow human beings, especially the righteous, especially those who are trying to be right and wants to live right and raise their children right. He is our enemy, fully aware of it. He's not dumb. These people know everything that we know and more because they have faith in what they believe in, what Shaitan is telling them. And they're using it every day as a scheme to hold us back from going forward to the promised land. Just want to say that. I said, I'm on.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Alhamdulillah. Is there anyone else that would like to share what Eliah blessed them with from out of this address, delivered by Imam Muhammad, keeping the promise. And the Imam Muhammad was speaking in a Christian church when he delivered this address. Corinthian Christian church. Praise be to Almighty God for his wide interest, his wide perspective, his wide vision. His praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Alhamdulillah, the Imam mentioned that the greatest enslavement is the enslavement of the human being's mind, of the human being's mind. We can be physically free, but if we still have false concepts in our mind, in our thinking, then we're not totally free. We can't make progress using an artificial mind. Praise be to God. Remember in the Imam, in the early part of his leadership, remember this phrase, divine mind, divine mind. The Imam used that language. So what should we replace our mind with? We should replace our mind with the divine mind of Almighty God. And where do we find that at? We find that in the Quran and the sacred scriptures. Praise be to Almighty God. And let our mind, let our thinking, let our mind and our five senses be shaped by Almighty God sharing his divine mind with us. Praise be to Almighty God. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Okay. Allah tells us in the Quran that your friends are no more than God, the prophets, and the company of believers. The company of believers. And believers are identified as those that believe in God and the last day. Any people that believe in God and the last day is admitted to the company of believers. So we all need each other. Praise be to all Almighty God. I see no one has raised their hand. I'm going to make another selection after this important public service announcement. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Alhamdulillah, for those of you that have not subscribed, then I ask you if you would subscribe to the Muslim Journal. It is the lifeblood of our community. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. I want to now share another address with you. I believe it is following along the same vein of the address we shared earlier, Keeping the Promise. But this address is entitled, Success is Guaranteed. Success is Guaranteed. The speaker is Imam Wajiduddin Muhammad, Rahimallah Alayhi. May we all benefit from the hearing, inshallah.
You think the prophet didn't have such problems?
Oh, yeah.
He had people pretending they were with him.
and they were so bitterly against what he was doing, they were just bubbling with poisons inside. But pretending the believers would see them and think that they were model believers. They were that good at faking it. The revelation came telling them, God is aware of you. So you almost want to bite your fingernails and fingers off in rage. Allah says, die in your rage. That's what Allah says in the Quran, die in your rage. Ain't no new thing. The plan is the same as it was at the day of the prophet. So you expect the same hatred for the plan. Yeah? Same hatred, the same hate mongers. Nothing changed. Nope. And we have to be strong and know that no matter how threatening against our own interests or our lives and purpose the scene looks, as long as you with God and faithful, you will be successful. Allah says the success of such believers is guaranteed. Huh? The believers must win through. This is the Allah in the Quran. So you just remember that and never let anything shake your faith.
Now that was a small presentation. I'm moving now to another presentation. I have something in mind. Praise be to Allah. That I want to share with you. Praise be to Allah. Let me see now. Hold on, please. Yes. I want to share with you an address called Serious Times and Great Times, presented by Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And I humbly ask if you were to have pen and paper with you, take down notes, and be willing to share inside of this study session what Allah had blessed you with from out of this wonderful address. This address is entitled Serious Times and Great Times. May we all benefit from the hearing, inshallah.
Represents the common God-given life and excellence of all people, of all people. And that's why I guess he was worthy of the title, A Mercy to All People, A Mercy to All Nations. This perception of our religion as a religion of the original nature, of the original excellence of matter itself that manifests its support to human excellence in the biological body, in the human chemistry, and in our intelligence, our emotions and intelligence and everything. Yes. God wants us to be connected with that and to see that he did not bring us an alien life to replace our human life that was born or was birthed out of the earth, this matter out of the earth. No. He does not offer us anything from the heaven or from the sky or from distant quarters, distant distances out in space, and say, no, your life is not able, your life is not fit, your life can't bear my rope that I want you to carry. I have to change your life. I give you a new life. I'm going to give you a spirit from outer space somewhere, and you're going to become a divine creature. Then you'll be able to bear my work and carry out my orders. No, that was not the case. God was very pleased, very pleased. Contrary to what some religious authorities say, God was very pleased with his human creation.
All right, good.
I'm a student of both the books, Bible and Quran, the Quran. I'm a student of both these holy books, and I think I'm qualified to debate anybody on earth. I'm telling you what I feel. I won't back up from anybody. I think I'm qualified to debate anybody on this earth. And I'll stand on the grounds, on the sacred pure grounds of the Bible and the Quran. And they'll find that they will not be able to prove me wrong. No. What I don't feel comfortable with, I don't say. What I say, I stand by. And I know the same idea that I'm getting ready to give you from Islam is in Christianity. Same idea. Only in Islam is brought more to view. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. That is what we are saying here. We greet our audience here, the radio audience and live audience, with peace. Be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We begin always trusting God to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, with the name of God, most gracious, most compassionate, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. We witness that He's one. We recognize all of His prophets that are in the scriptures, those scriptures that came before, the Quran, the last and final revelation revealed to Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia, and also, of course, what we find in our holy book, the Quran, for the Muslims and for the world, because we are told that Muhammad is a mercy to all the world. That's what God tells us in our holy book. Muhammad is a mercy to all the worlds. We are beginning today a little late, and I apologize for that. We like to be on time. We are very displeased when we are not on time. And that brings me to our topic today. We are living in very serious times. We're living in great times. We're living in good and bad times for human life. These are the great and dreadful days, as it's written in the scriptures that were revealed to the people of the book before the revealing of our holy book, the Quran, to Muhammad the prophet, or the last prophet of God. This time is the time of the conclusion of things. Man's age-long work of ordering the world is in its final phase. The planning of material life, the planning of social life, the planning of moral and ethical life, all in the final phase. This was predicted long ago. The order of the world was known thousands of years ago. We are not the first to know about it. The essential nature of the earth and the essential nature of people, the social group as a social group, had been known by civilizations, by nations, for thousands of years. They knew the nature of it, so they could predict the future. What man's life, working the earth, sharing and fighting over his products or his treasures, they knew the population would grow, and people will become more and more connected because of them growing and branching out. So they could produce the end. And they were men of vision and men of moral, high moral life. So they were assisted by the Great Spirit, the Spirit we call the Spirit of God. They were assisted by that. And they saw the future, and they predicted the future. And we are seeing now what they predicted. We are fortunate to be living in this great time of material progress, progress for economic life, progress for academic life, scientific progress, a fascinating world of scientific progress and technology. On one hand, this world is making great strides, morally speaking also. However, on the other hand, this world is failing our moral life. In one focus, we see the highest leaders in America and the richest companies, corporate establishments in America being brought to justice. However, in another focus, we see public life and the street crowds going down in a cesspool of moral ruin. Sex-driven females, sex-driven males, switching. Now, our change coins in our pockets, our nickels, our dimes, nickels, and pennies, and whatever, they have two sides to them, heads and tails. And switching, eventually, the tails get the seat the head was sitting in and working in. What was a friend becomes an enemy. We're living in these times. The enemy rises up so as to appear friendly. Earth with all of her cosmetic, my type is put cosmetic on here. Well, it's cosmetic. The word is not, it's cosmetic. But the word we want here is cosmic. Yes. With all Earth, with all of its cosmic relatives, exists for the purpose of giving birth to fruitful, productive human life. God says that he has made everything in the skies and everything in the earth to yield its utility, its worth to the creature he made above all the living, the human creature. Human life is not formed to have we people call one another, quote, dogs, quote, bitches. Earth supports human feelings and human living, human life. Earth supports struggle and people having riches, yes. We have to identify self. We have to know what we are talking about when we are talking about each other. We are talking about the highest life form that exists in this material system that God made. Identify self. Man is the productive spirit in the body we call the earth. But actually, man working with earth brings earth to evolve, to graduate, to rise into a higher form. We are the earth. That's the point. We are earth.
Right.
Earth has evolved an intelligent part of itself,
right,
the human being. To identify self is to know something about earth. Man, like everything else living, is made or formed of earth. Man of the earth is born to be a manager. Every man. And that includes women. Life only has so much time to prove it has the spirit to stay in life. To stay in life means to stay in line. To stay in line with the best disciplines that this earth evolves. The earth thirsts. No water, the earth grows nothing. The earth is appetite. Man, no appetite, he produces nothing. Life is appetite. Earth transforms and becomes new forms. Think what life first material form, the earth, can do. And whatever it can do, you can experience it and be a cause for it doing it more and better.
Right.
To support one's life or oneself, reflect on the human body to get some help. Flesh is a plan for conditioning the spirit. Spirit is life, if anyone will hear it. To exhaust it, no more spirit to run, only a few around laughing. Life is no fun. Spirit rises and travels upon desire. Man running, the whole world conspires. Man conspires to manage our fires. Study the human body that serves you and be kind to it.
Yeah.
That is being kind to yourself.
Right.
Don't take drugs
right.
and abuse your life. If the body is good for human life, trusting it is good for the human mind. Trusting it in the good order that it was intended to have to support the best human spirit. A clean body helps the clean mind.
Right.
A filthy body hurts a clean mind.
Right.
It's time to have a new, fresh genesis for the human spirit on this earth. To get us up and have us birth new and better human minds.
Right.
On self, we cheat. On family, we cheat. On life, we're cheating. That's why life really wants to cry.
Yeah.
That's why souls want to hide. Night people are sleeping away today. I was in New York, and I saw all the people out late at night. I say, when do they go to sleep?
Yeah.
The citizen of New York told me, he didn't read about it, said, this is a city that never sleeps. Night people not knowing the way. Living for the little that is paid. It is time to have a new, fresh genesis and wake up into man's earth-made human mind. Four seasons come around. Snow covers all the ground. Coldness closes the doors. Selfishness, our selfish life, causes us to lose even more. Life is earth. Life is appetite. Life, not hurt, and wanting to fight. Earth thirsts to have things right. Without water, Earth's powers to produce remain dead, asleep beneath its covers. Life is earth and appetite, thirst to have your spirit right. Fast life. Generic shopping. Hard time getting help. Second hand. Human life formed of earth is an intelligent body making choices. Spirit makes human life what it's worth. A spirit for resting from toil and hurt. A spirit for getting what is promised to man at birth. Born to outstretch the mineral, the plant and the animal life. Yes, human. Born to see farther than the moon and the sun. Born to struggle, yes. Rise up from rubble, yes. Life formed of earth originally gave birth to a human with a human heart and mind, the original man. He wills to never part with the spirit. He wills to stay firm and be kind. Man is hurt. Man is mine. Have we feelings for self and others? Search the earth. What should be man's struggle? Struggle towards the best by going away from the worst. The ship and the landmass of life. Man was created to manage it. Human life went up the mountainside to look down from the sky. Human life found the vision for planning man's life. Qualify to man the ship. This is a message to the living, not the dead. Qualify to gaze. To engage, qualify to engage the landmass. An aerial view obtained while in the mountain high showed vital features and vital processes, showed knowledge and science, direction for material production and education, man from head to feet. The human person's skeletal home, the human person's anatomy, heart, brain, lungs, located on floors above, consumption, ecstasy, excretion, on floors of lower region. This human body a construction, more than a mere mortal flesh, an edifice, a light tower, a beacon, to science and education. Housing seeds for a new life, for a new genesis, for a metamorphosis. Muscle, skin, hair, whatever else is there. The entire structure in all of its aspects and details, from the largest of its parts to its dust particles, a microscopic organism. No part of it holds back its knowledge. It's science for life, education, and for soothing comforts. Earth, the mother form, from which all life comes. Everything belonging to its composition, the very large, the microscopic, a continental rock shelf. A small ash particle, a grain of sand. Earth and all that it embodies. Light for brightening up man's world. Man is not the first producer for the human heart and mind. Man is a special key. K-E-Y, a special key to a treasure of keys, uncountable. Man studies himself to better see what is man's role in the big picture. Sacred are all the connections belonging to the whole of matter. Back to the mountain, back to the vision, back to Eden. For the road map of life, for wholeness and endless progress, engage the brain, engage the heart, human values. The human lifeline is a lifeline of traditional human values. Life says, be productive to be free. The world of life says, be anything but serious. Be free to play, be free to have fun, be free to freak out, and become delirious. Success is keeping our soul, yes, success is keeping our soul out from under a world of dogs and dishes. Go out from sacred Eden, your human center. Look. How it is today on all sides of this planet is hell. We the people, no man is display. No oversized ego. Stay well. As-salamu alaykum. Keep the peace. Keep his peace. Little things. Yes, little things. Little things we know make us strong. Life appears dead in wintertime. Seasons come and go. The good circumstances are gone. The beautiful faces of spring and summer have passed away. Life that was on the up and up, under the cold weather, looks poor and naked, looks naked and hopeless. After 3 down spirit months, 12 weeks passing their way, air warms under the sunlight. Winds blow the rain clouds to have 12 weeks of downheartedness. Springtime is back again. Life survives death. The earth gestures. Hold on, she says. Little things we know make us strong. A big chicken, a rooster, find something to eat. That big male chicken will not eat until after calling the mother and her chicks to have dinner with him. That's an animal. A little fowl. Little things we know make us strong. From A to Z, from where we got what we eat, what protects and makes life comfortable as well. Food, clothing, housing, employment, and transportation all came from a producer hooking up to Mother Nature. We may not have the history of material production, the birth of towns and big cities. However, common sense tells us man is born naked like a baby bird. Neither his nesting nor his big cities existed before finding a way through Mother Nature. Banking and financing may be a message given by a little squirrel. Yes? Running about on the ground among the trees. The little squirrel banks more than it consumes and preparing to survive a non-productive season. Springtime comes around and a little squirrel can busy itself at exploration and play because the little bird banked on and saved something for a rainy day. Little things we know make us strong. A visit to a Mormon city, the city of Utah, put the life of a honeybee on my mind. There in Salt Lake City, Utah, I saw Mormon industries, food production, canneries, other goods and other factories. Something displayed on the wall in the Mormon community's busy business environment was brought to my attention. A symbol, an emblem, a motto representing a principle, a goal to reach, people's worth ethic, a people's worth ethic, a people busy at production. Selecting from the beautiful life, from the full aroma, the environment of the bee. Not funky stuff. Their work time and their play time will not be bitter because of them imitating the industry of the bee. It will be sweet.
Right.
What make life of the honeybee a messenger teacher in man's world?
Yeah.
What made ducks that fly through the air, rise the waters, dive down deep into the depths in search of goods? What made the woodpecker the aquatic rodent beaver, the beaver? And also a carpenter and the woodpecker. What made them teachers? What made the dragonfly, the hummingbird, teachers? Teachers of maneuvers in the air.
Yeah.
Yes. Great maneuvers in the air. Messages to those who design flying objects, planes and whatever. Messages to them, helping them to design a better flying machine. All of this we find in Mother Earth. Once I was listening to a preacher, Christian preacher, and I had met him and became his acquaintance, his friend, a friendly acquaintance of his. And he said in his speech, the important thing is to not make the gift more important than the giver.
That's right.
Some little insect, night crawlers, have been created to hide themselves and protect their life. They can roll up into a ball, and just one little catch will send it rolling across the floor. And when they sense that there's no more danger, they come to their normal form and walk away.
Yeah.
To see dead ground live again, hold on to life. Some up from poverty, from poor life. Oh, mind power edge. Oh, a mind power edge. For a life we are enjoying under better conditions. Yes, those who keep the life and keep it progressing while we are overcome by failure and setback, they have a mind power edge.
Yes.
The whole earth is a house for glorification, the glorification of the Maker. The house exists for all colors, for each and every one of us. To have it open to us, to have it house or accommodate all of us living life in it, certain mind strategies are keys. The one that started our lifeline again. His name was Farah.
Right.
And many of the old pioneers called him the friend. He had a mind power edge. Yes, he had a mind power edge. And he had keys. Keys to strategies that would make us successful. With this gift, the mind power edge, each adult male can be his own manager.
Right.
Having the same definition for the meaning of human life and human rights situate all males and females, families and communities, to strive and compete on a fair playing field.
Right.
From continent to continent, from Asia to America, from around the world. Human communities have worked at and have found their vision for keeping and building upon their humanity, their own humanity. Humanity distinguished the life we have from the life of the lower living creatures. And this vision of human life, competition, and pattern connections are of life and death importance to us. In one language or another, basic connections are the same. This composition can be summarized as earth, fire, wind, and water. On the four, I should say of the four, is the one tending to keep its own design. Water evaporates, freezes up, wind tends to be wild, and fire is devastating and devouring, greedy. Can't control his appetite. But we know that the earth holds its form and keeps its design. That's why man is not made of water only, or of air only, or of fire only. Man is made of the earth. And we find the earth having in its composition water, air, and fire.
All right,
it has the other three, but its design is given in its matter, in its material form. It serves as a container, as a basin for water. It withstands the winds, and it has heat and cold influencing the wind, as the sun above has heat, and the atmosphere far out is very, very cold. The heavens above influencing the life, but the earth also participates. And that's what we must do, brothers. Peace. As-salamu alaykum. Yes, my message to you is stay well. Stay well to stay out of hell. We are very pleased to be addressing our radio listening audience today. We are not here to force anybody to change your way of thinking. We're told in this religion, although most of us are not aware of it, especially those who are running about in the streets, to let other people know they are not Christian, they're Muslims. Yet they are not aware, I'm sure most of them, that God tells us in our religion that we should not impose or force our religion on anybody.
Right.
That the way is open and free to all. Let him who has a will choose the way, and let him who does not have a will refuse it. This is our religion. We have a whole chapter that is devoted to that permission or that situation that we find ourselves in, where we so strongly believe in what we believe, and we love so much what we believe, we're just compelled almost by our own feelings to push it on somebody else. But that disrespects the gift. If you have to push it on people, you cheapen it. And God says he has given us our religion as a gift. It is a gift from him. A gift that he formed of our own human values. And he formed that gift of human, of man's own human values, of people's own human values. He formed it for us. And he gave it to us to please our souls.
Right.
And it does please our souls.
Right.
But there are others who have their own religion. They have their own values. And they are devoted to their highest principles and most decent values. We don't want to disturb their life by insisting that they come over with us and be Muslim.
That's right.
If we were able to do that, and we're not, we would cause Christians to lose, and we cause Muslims to lose.
Right.
Yes, both sides would lose. Pretty soon, one side would end up with the unwanted on the other side.
Right.
And it would become confused. And we wouldn't be able to work together with good people from each side. So we want to do the best and the wise thing, and that is recognize our common values.
Yeah.
We have common values that connect for all of us.
Right.
You believe in a higher authority, an authority over man. We believe in a higher authority over man. So we have that in common. And that's the first condition we need in order for us to be friends and work together.
Right.
But if I got God over me and you got the devil over you, we're going to have a hell of a working relationship. But we have other values in common, principles in common. There are many that we have with the Christian world. And we must understand that we live in America predominantly Christian. We are a minority. You know, when you're outnumbered like that, you're not supposed to be thinking about forcing the other side to do anything. You're supposed to be thinking about ways to get along and help one another. We're going to get there, but we have to face our own ignorance, our own mistakes. We made some mistakes. We have to face them and start over again in a better way. And that's what Imam, my Imam, I have others too, but the closest Imam to me is Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And that's what my Imam had me doing. I'm working hard not to push good people away, but to show good people we have too much in common not to be knowing one another and not to be assisting each other's good works. This time the time.
Hold on. I want to return to the studio and see if there's anyone that would like to share. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Error code 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Michael Hameen, alaikum assalam. Jacksonville, Florida. A host of Not Just Talk on am360.org. I appreciate your sharing the lecture of the Imam and his matter-of-fact conversation in glorifying Allah as well as acknowledging the better way to share what we have and to appreciate what others have in terms of men and women of faith. Alhamdulillah. I want to say to you and to the audience that a dear sister, student of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, one of those who was in the classes that Imam Muhammad gave on Sundays, I believe it was, in Chicago. She would travel from Rockford, Illinois, to join those classes. Her name, Sister Christine Rashida Saleem, and she transitioned last night. And I got the message this morning from Sister Gail Muhammad, who was a friend and a colleague and knew her well, that she had transitioned. And we ask the audience to make dua for her family and friends and colleagues, and make dua for the you know, her. Surely, we belong to Allah, and to Him we are returning. Thank you for allowing me this time. Amen.
Yes, you are welcome, Michael. I'm familiar with Sister Christine Rashida Muhammad, Rockford. Praise be to Allah. We have had some very enriching conversations with each other over the years. Praise be to Allah. And she had a burning desire within her to reestablish the Booker T. Washington Foundation in Rockford, Illinois. Praise be to Allah. And she was an avid student of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, praise be to Allah. And she worked well in the community in which she lived. We know that, you know. So from Allah's will we come, and to Allah's will we all shall return. May Allah forgive her any sins that she may have had and grant her the home in Almighty God's paradise for us. Praise be to Allah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, I want to move forward now. Area code 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Martha Naila Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, by way of Clearwater, Florida. And greetings of peace to everyone this morning. Well, I, and just what you just said, from the will of Almighty God we come, and to the will of Almighty God we return. And even in that, for Christina Rashida Saleem, as we come to understand Imam, as I was listening him speaking about our bodies and us being kind to our bodies, us getting to know our bodies, and relating our bodies to what we see in creation outer. And then he went to the industrialization and what we see, how advances are made. And I couldn't help but think, as I'm studying the geographical areas of this United States, then seeing the for the purpose of seeing how the Muslim that we refer to as in connection with the Association of Leadership of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh. And that's very important to me to know geographically and to see how the unity is there in the form of history, and also in the form of what we're growing to, what we're striving for. And I'm saying it that way so that we can understand that this urge within us, as the physical earth is supplying what we need, and as industrialization is happening, continuing to happen, building of buildings and tearing down others that are no longer sufficient to serve us, all of that is industrialization. But when we turn and look at ourselves as a physical construct and realize that the energy within us, like the man was speaking about, the spirit of us that gives us that will, the very ability to think and to move and to act upon things, That's where the industrialization starts. So I guess I'll stop right there because it is truly the spirit within, and may we be continuously motivated to be connected, understand where we are, and continue to move forward. And whatever we are to do, we do it because the continuation is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the rest of humanity to come. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you. Would you share your broadcast here on America Muslim 360 with the listening audience, if you would, please? Community Development Stage.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Yes, Community Developmental Stage is every Friday, connected with CWSC Community Buzz. Have you heard? It is every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are currently in the mode of discussing male-female relationships, but as friends, and on to being developed, being spiritually sound, mentally sound, and physically sound as we go through the developmental stages, inshallah.
All right. Thank you, my sister. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So we invite everyone, if you would, tune in Friday evening for Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz. Thank you, Martha. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
All right, we'll move forward. 404-909. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. My name is Salim Muhammad, calling from the Atlanta, Georgia area, and listening to this great broadcast and the great wisdom. One note I keyed in on is he says, when you make a mistake, face it and correct it and start over on the right track. And don't keep going in the same wrong direction. You know, in the first experience, we used to say, if you're trying to get to Chicago and you wind up in Florida, you know, you don't just keep going because you're going to get to Cuba. You need to turn around and go back the other way. So I'm looking at that as life. And I'm looking at, you know, championship basketball and football and how everybody says the clock is ticking and you're trying to make that final shot. And then in football, it's the Hail Mary, you know, when you did all you can do and now you got a few seconds. Well, life is like that, you know, and the clock is ticking on all of us. And if we're not where we want to be, we have this great wisdom and guidance to use to correct our course. I mean, they got correspondence courses. They got technical training. They got online college courses. So if you're not where you want to be in America, it's really on you. And the imam brought that out, you know. And it's like you said about the squirrel putting up the acorns for the season that's coming up. I mean, it was just so many issues, and I got to get this lecture to go back over it. But I did take notes on your advice, and it does stand out when you take the notes because you can go back over it and refresh, you know?
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir.
So where you got the point about not being dogs and bees, you know, if we don't cheat, you know, we're cheating. You know, if you cheat, you're going to lose because you're going to get a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm just really enjoying it, brother. I sure appreciate it.
All right, my brother. Thank you. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah for you. And continue to contribute to the best that is within all of us. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
Imam, from what I got from out of, you know, the imam was a very profound philosophical thinker. And he mentioned a little thing are very important. The squirrel, the beaver, the hummingbird. We are told in our religion that the mother is the first teacher. And what do we call nature? Mother Nature.
Yes.
What do we call Earth? Mother Earth. Mother. So we learn from the examples that Allah has placed in the creation. Praise be to Allah. And the first revelation to our Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace be upon him was Ikra, was to read.
Yes.
To read creation. And your Lord is most bountiful. Thank you, my brother. Excellent connection. You may pray to Allah. Okay, we have about 3 minutes of God. Yes, yes, sir. And please continue to listen and contribute the best of yourself. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes of broadcast time left, and I want to invite everyone to tune back into America Muslim 360 following this broadcast, for the broadcast of preparing to make it in the land of plenty, hosted by our beloved Imam DeLacy Umar Phillips and his valuable recurring guest, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, and the commentary of our beloved brother Michael Hameen on preparing to make it in the land of plenty. Praise be to Allah. Following this broadcast, alhamdulillah, we got about 2 minutes left, Muhammad. If you would be very succinct, I'm under the the pressure of the clock at this time. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I like my psalm. I just wanted to extend what you were just saying. What did they call the prophet? They called him the Ummi prophet. So again, we see that we fall into that same category as Mother Earth, Mother, etc. That's all I want to say, because alhamdulillah, you know, Allah is so merciful and giving us so many ways to look at the same thing and know that whichever way we turn, you know, we know the right kibla to follow. I mean,
alhamdulillah. Thank you, my brother. I'm grateful that the Imam acknowledged the excellent qualities that Christians and other people of faith share with us. We were somewhat influenced, somewhat to be battling among each other. That was the oppressor of human beings that initiated the Crusades and all of this fighting and warring against each other. But we have so many similarities. Praise be to Almighty God. We have made the correction, and we are grateful for interfaith dialogue. Praise be to Almighty God. We need each other. Alhamdulillah. Came to you with the greetings of peace. I leave you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.